The world is a vampire. Sent to drain. Secret destroyers. Hold you up to the flames. And what do I get for my pain? Betrayed desires. And a piece of the
Welcome to Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. I'm your host, Ben Sargent, and today we have a different type of a show. Real different. I'm here with some real special friends of mine who, for reasons we'll get into later in the show, have their voices masked and their names and faces will not be revealed today. With me is a special ops organization fishing group by the name of the Nightcrawlers. Thank you guys for coming on the show. You guys are, I mean, I guess the name says it all. You operate by night. Is that right?
Oh, that's correct.
Quiet bunch here.
Yeah, that's right.
These guys, just so you know, everybody at home, they all have masks on, and they're kind of an intimidating bunch. But you guys are fishermen. Like, I've seen people that resemble you that are terrorists, but I don't think that you're terrorists. So you just like to fish. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And what is it that you're, what's your modus operandi? What do you guys do? What's your motto here? What are you trying to prove?
Find the best fishing possible.
And, you know, to get there, you have to do some questionable things.
And is that, I mean,
we talked a little bit before the show, is that because access to fishing has changed over the years?
Sure. The fact that every piece of property on the water now is worth 100 times what it was 10 years ago. Nobody wants anybody near there. You know, for liability purposes, number one. And number two, because half of it's being developed and, you know, people are trying to break in there and steal things. And part of that is you can't fish there now.
Mm-hmm. So you take it upon yourselves to open access to places that used to be your fishing grounds and no longer can be?
Sure, you have to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what are the tactics that you guys use? These are slightly rhetorical questions because I've had the fortune to come fishing with you guys, which is not for the faint of heart. It's alarming. You guys move quickly, stealthily, at night, under the radar. You deal with guards, police, and all kinds of things. But what are some of the tactics that you guys use?
Well, one of the tactics is just identifying a good spot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got coverage, there's structure, you think there might be fish there, mm-hmm. and where no one else is fishing.
Okay.
And then you basically scope it out and look for, you know, first of all, any security, bright lights, and then any hurdles you have to get over to get to that spot, and there are a few of them.
Like hurdles being what?
Barbed wire fences, you got water hazards. Mm-hmm. You gotta get over fences, you gotta, like, climb over I-beams. There's a lot of still raw sort of industrial piers and jetties in the Brooklyn area on the waterfront of the East River that are really, really difficult to get into. But that makes it almost, it's more fun, and it's also kind of a more exclusive spot. You know, you get there, and there are a few other people there, if anyone.
I see. So this would pretty much officially secure your spot from any other fellow fishermen.
Yeah,
you would think so, but there are a lot of other intrepid fishermen out there, and there are many times we go out and we're excited, we found a good spot, and we get there, and there are a couple guys posted up.
I guess that's my question to you. Are you doing this for yourselves and for your, you know, personal private fishing, or are you guys doing this as a gesture to the fishing community?
It's really, I think, a combination of those things. I mean, part of it is seeking out good spots to fish that aren't, you know, part of an enormous development with a bunch of people fishing off of it. Another is just finding a spot where, you know, it's quiet and it's calm and you have good structure and exposure, a good fishing spot, which are harder and harder to come by. And there is also, you know, a little bit of fun in it in terms of getting out there. I mean, it's an adventure.
Right. Have you guys, would you consider what you do illegal? I was going to ask you if you've ever been caught, but is it illegal what you do?
I mean, fortunately for us, there's a fairly large gray area in what you're asking. Like, part of it is understanding whether the land that you're entering is private or not. Mm-hmm. And fortunately for our sake, a lot of the areas that we go to, there's not as much sort of signage that says whether we're trespassing or whether it's private land. If you don't know, technically, you can't be convicted for trespassing. If you get caught by the police, you can be removed immediately from that land.
Yeah.
But you're not necessarily breaking any law if you don't know that you're going there. So there's definitely some flexibility in the law.
And does that go, I'll go to Fisherman 2 here. Does that go back to vessels and, you know, water accessibility? Like, because I was reading up on some of the New York state laws. Is there something in what you guys do in that if you have a vessel, a raft, or whatever, that you somehow are getting around the laws? Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you, technically, all the New York waterways are considered public land. So despite whether they have, whether there's public or private land being built or developed, they put a fence around it, the water itself is still considered publicly accessible.
And I mean, so what? So you guys have a raft that you use at times. So if you are to get busted, you say we're porting or we're
one of us does.
Okay, no names. And this isn't, by the way, this isn't a male dominated organization. We have a female with us today. How did you get involved in this group,
Fisherman One?
Let's see. I just kind of showed up and came along, and it sounds like fun, and then started going some more.
Do you have to be a diehard fisherman or just not a timid fisherman to get involved?
I guess you definitely need a sense of adventure.
Okay.
But it's not like I'm balls out. Okay. I just kind of show up and see what happens and not be too scared.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to argue, actually, I think fisherwoman number one is definitely balls out.
I would have to agree with you. I've had a chance to fish with Fisherwoman 1, and she is definitely balls out. Do you guys consider yourself, are you like, I don't know, the graffiti writers sort of the fishing world? Is that a good way to compare you in a sense?
I guess so, but the difference is that we have a lot of sympathy from everybody across the board. Mm-hmm. I mean, except for the ultra-conservative people that are just against everything and anything. Mm-hmm. But everybody else kind of agrees that the level of bureaucracy that exists is out of control to where, I mean, fishing is, it's a basic right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things that, I mean, as long as you're not taking a long line and taking 1,000 fish out of the water, I mean, right, especially if it's catch and release or recreationally, mm-hmm, you know, why can't you go to these places? That's really the question.
This would be Fisherman 4 we're hearing from right now. Why do they call you the fish slayer?
Because I happen to catch a lot of fish, usually.
are you catch and release?
For the most part, yeah. What happens is about, if I decide to take, it's all out take.
Okay.
But at the same time, I mean, really the amount of times that I keep fish, it's really pretty much maybe 5 to 10 times out of the entire year. There's one trip that I caught about 2,000 pounds worth of fish, all released. And everybody was asking for fish, and I was like, well, I wasn't planning on keeping them that trip.
They're going back in.
Yeah, so.
Would you guys say, I mean, first of all, I just want to know, have you ever been caught? Have you ever been put in jail for what you do? Who are the authorities? Is it the DC? Is it guards? Who do you deal with on a regular basis?
Them as well as police and the average concerned citizen. Mm-hmm. But as far as getting caught, I mean, sure, we've all been caught multiple times. As far as how caught and what the consequences are, so far we've dodged the bullet. Okay,
because the time that I've been out with you, we did get caught. Someone got caught, and it seems like certain officers out there have some leniency towards what you're doing because they, in fact, are fishermen themselves. So in that sense, you're kind of like underground superheroes a little bit to the right crowd, I guess. What would you say?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, to the point that Fisherman Number 4 was making, it's people are sympathetic with it. It's not like we tread fairly lightly. You know, whether we take a few fish or we catch and release, it doesn't, in the end, at the end of the day, have much of an impact on anybody else. You know, I think one of the big concerns, there are some spots that we go to that are really very treacherous to get to. I mean, you're climbing out on a protruding fence that's over the water.
Well, walk us through a night.
Okay, well, there's one spot in Brooklyn that we go to that is, you know, definitely we've taken a couple of outsiders there, and a few people have just looked at it and turned around and walked away.
I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. The guy that I went with, he came along and he said, "Are you guys going fishing tonight?" And I said, "Well, it's a special kind of night because I'm going out with this group of sort of underground fishermen." And he said, "Well, where are you fishing?" He's like, are you going now?" I said, "Yeah, get ready, get your stuff. You know, if you come with me, it's cool." And they won't ask any questions. And this guy talks a big game, right? He tells me about all these spots that he fishes and everything. And he, in the middle of fishing with you guys, just totally bailed on the whole thing. He's like, "You guys are fucking hardcore." He's like, "I'm out of here." He's like, he left his gear and he just took off. And I don't know if that was the climbing the barbed wire or the cutting the barbed wire or what it was that made him scared, but he was...
It could be any number of things. I mean, I will admit that thought crossed my mind a couple of times.
Where the first time you went out.
Yeah, the first time I went to one of these spots.
We have our two leaders with us here, right? So they took you for the first time?
Yeah. One of them, Fisherman Number 2, took me for the first time. And, you know, when I stared at the entry point to this spot, I just thought to myself, like, really? Like this? I don't see any way of getting from where we're standing to where he is telling me we're going to go.
Yeah, there's no there's no ducks and picnic.
Yeah, your mind
kind of thinks about there must be some kind of secret door that you're going to get around this hurdle, and then, you know, all of a sudden you're standing out on a protruding barbed wire fence that hangs over the water that you don't know how deep it is. I mean, it could be 1 foot deep
with the current under you.
Yeah, you've got some current, and then you got to climb that. And you actually, while you're sort of hanging off this cantilevered barbed wire fence, you have to push the barbed wire in and then get around it. All your stuff's getting caught up on it, and, you know, then you hop off, and that's just the beginning. The next year, like, you know, sort of doing this tightrope walk out on an I-beam and then coming back and then walking over, like, a lot of uneven stuff and then climbing under a fence. And then the spot itself is one of these spots that we go to is a large pier that goes out into the East River. And, you know, this rushing water, if you go during a good sort of full moon fishing time, there's a lot of current underneath you. The water's freezing cold. And the great thing about this spot is that you're way out in the East River. You're right out into the middle of it. The downside of that is if you fall in, you're kind of SOL. You're going to just drift away into the darkness.
Into Jersey.
Besides guards, police, and all that, are you dealing with cameras, dogs, anything?
They're definitely cameras.
Okay.
And they're floodlights. Some of them are motion activated. And, otherwise, you know, there are probably a bunch of other cameras that we're unaware of. But it's kind of, I mean, one of the things, one of the analogies I can make to it is sort of like a video game. There are like different stages, and sometimes the stakes are higher and it gets more and more difficult the deeper you get in.
It's only level one.
And it's exciting. Yeah, it's really fun because it's a balancing act. You gotta like jump over stuff. I mean, it's just like Donkey Kong sometimes.
Awesome. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, I wanna hear more about sort of going out with the night crawlers. You've heard it here. Catch it, cook it, and eat it.
It's Geppetto and Nightcrawler's on the prowl like bored hitmen. You've been misinformed if you doubt the full mention. You don't want a war without all of your henchmen. Just my mic can't kick count all of your victims. Our lungs emit sound with clouds as for venom. They start seeping, leaving you on the floor spinning. Seeing more visions and needing a mortician. Well, your CD stays on the shelf in the store sitting. We're more vicious than morbid angel on angel dust. Chains and cuffs can't contain us, we're dangerous. This ain't a bluff, we got the ace and spades and clubs. Stakes is high, but I say it's time we raise them up.
Trapped up in this spine of mine, looking for some time to shine. Push it with the power prime, hooked up on my fishing line. Fuck them cause I'm living light, bound to pay a bigger price. Butter on the kitchen knife, gonna need a bigger mic. Human but a different type, caught up in the steam of light. Putting up my fist to fight, rapping I don't need to write. Music this is living right, chronic let me pack the pipe. Growing to a bigger height, baby take me home tonight. Only doing what we like, the crawlers only move at night. Quicker than some minute right, so open up the mic. Yo, I'm not polite, I'm productive. And I'm moving to recite to crush you in your motherfucking kind.
It's Geppetto on the strings, Nightcrawler's on the prowl. All you gotta do is sit back like the owl. Geppetto on the strings, Nightcrawler's on the prowl. All you gotta do is sit back, don't touch that dial.
The gold medalist, y'all falling like rose petals. I suggest you don't.
We're back. Catch it, cook it, and eat it. This episode is brought to you by Whole Foods. And I am here talking to an underground fishing organization, the Nightcrawlers. I wanted to, before the break, we were talking about sort of a day in the night of the Nightcrawlers. What do you guys do in terms of equipment, in terms of like, because obviously it can't be easy to get to these places. We've learned that much. What are you using to get there, and in terms of...
Well, generally you want to have a over-the-shoulder tackle bag to carry all your gear in. Two-piece rods that you can break down, easier to get around some of the obstacles, like somebody was talking about earlier, the barbed wire and the razor wire fences. I mean, fishing line will get caught on anything, and the last thing you want is to be stuck high up on a fence, razor wire, you know, in your pants or like wrapped around your fishing line, like some of us have had happen to us before.
Fisherman 2, is it true that you fell in the water one time?
Yes, it is. Absolutely true.
Tell us what it's like to fall into the East River.
Oh, not as bad as you might think. Well, it really depends. Where I fell in, I was fortunate enough to fall in at high tide. And deep enough water so I didn't break myself against the rocks. But if it was further out, on a particular pier, it might have been game over.
Is it at all embarrassing to be, you know, sort of the leader or the one of the leaders of the Nightcrawlers, and then to you know, on one of your missions to fall in front of newbies? Because I happen to have been along, and we're like, dude, that's our trusted leader, and he's like underwater.
I feel like it was somehow fated and inappropriate. Considering that I was trying to show a lot of new people places to go, where to stand, to watch out for the razor wire in the grass. And
it's their fault.
Yeah.
I thought it built solidarity, actually. Okay.
I agree. I respected you more.
and I mean, did any diseases coming out of there? Any after effects from going in under?
No, it cost me a bunch of money. In terms of losing some electronic equipment, because it is salt water, which is my first, my initial impression after going completely underwater.
Oh, it's salty, you mean?
It's salty water, yes.
Okay. I mean, I was impressed in the sense that you did somehow manage to keep your rod safe. I guess you were fishing with a really nice rod, so that was sort of your concern above and beyond your cell phone and your other equipment.
Well, I managed not to break the rod, right? Not so much safe, but...
It was definitely on the top of your list of things to protect.
Yeah.
What happened? Did you just fall on a rock, or what was the...
I was doing something with you. I think I was switching spots with you, and I stepped on an uneven rock. And
it wasn't my fault, if that's what you're trying to say.
And it tilted forward, and I did a sort of a sideways front flip into the water, and landed on my back.
Mm.
I do want to ask you guys about eating the fish out of the river. Are you advocates of eating the fish or not advocates of eating the fish?
I personally haven't eaten fish out of the water yet, so.
So it's for sport mostly for you.
For me, if I actually caught.
Oh, you don't always catch fish? These guys always catch fish.
They always catch fish. I never catch fish.
I've never been out before where they haven't caught a fish. That's incredible to me. But
generally, no, I don't even drink tap water, so I don't think I'm going to be eating the fish out of there.
Well, I didn't know the night crawlers were such a a snooty
sorry.
No, it's great.
Only three coupon on the fish.
And what kind of fish are you guys after? I mean, some people out there don't know what's in the East River. In fact, I'm not sure what's in the East River anymore. Yeah. What are you going for?
To be honest, the original reason we started was we're trying to find Jimmy Hoffa. So far, unsuccessful, though. But, you have striped bass, bluefish. Right now, they're catching, well, I don't know if the run's still going, but a lot of ling, but it's a winter fish. Mm. You get cod right now, also herring, although they haven't materialized.
So there's winter fishing?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Winter fishing, if there's a good run, it's just as good as summer, if not better. There's been some years where winter fishing is unbelievable. Hmm. But, you know, it's all about water temperature, currents, weather patterns, along with, bait schools.
Hmm. And I didn't get to ask this before, but are you fishing with a license?
I think it's... No, mine's expired.
How about fisherman number three?
No.
Number two?
No, there's...
Really no reason to do it right now. The DEC actually can't enforce the law, which requires you to have a fishing license, because of a lawsuit that's going on in East End Towns on Long Island. And what they've decided is that since they can't enforce a law in the East End Towns while the lawsuit's going on, they can't really enforce it anywhere.
And well, even if it is illegal... If they were trying to stop you guys and you have your little raft there, is there some sort of getaway plan? Do you have a way to just... I mean, because I imagine a cop's not going to come barreling in the water after you in the East River.
Actually, there was one time where... By the way, if anybody's experienced a DEC officer, they carry guns. And they have undercover...
I just saw a crew of them outside an apartment in Brooklyn.
What's the address in case any supporters want to know?
It was at North 6th Street and Wythe in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I saw this whole crew and it was like a scene out of Cops. There were about 8 guys, guns drawn, about to enter an apartment. And I didn't know what it was, and then I saw a DEC on the side.
No way.
I was pretty surprised.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. The one thing that I do that I used to work for the DEC.
Are you serious?
Yeah, for an organization called iFish New York, which is actually...
We can't be friends anymore.
No, but here's the thing. It was a cool organization because we took inner city kids fishing all over. And it was just a summer job. But the end result of that is that I have a DEC card, which I have saved. So if I ever have a problem... All I have to do is show my little card, which has no date on it. I looked at it the other day. It's like I'm forever DEC, which is maybe that will help my membership solidify with you guys. The more tricks I have up my sleeve, I don't know. I'm not even a member yet. What else did I want to ask you guys? I guess what I'm mostly after is whether it's the fishing that you guys are about or the law breaking. You mean
the rush?
Yeah. Is the law breaking really the fun in what you do? Is it just make the fishing that much more fun? Or is there a real political statement that you're trying to make?
Well, for me, there's a certain type of fishing that I do specifically that I'm not going to get into on the radio, mainly because you guys don't even know about it yet. But that type...
It sounds rude. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not that at all. You know, we'll get into it after the fact, but... You know, I've already been tagged by this one lake that, you know, I'm really not allowed to show my face around there anymore. Or, you know, they're trying to get me. But another time, a DEC officer was actually looking for me, but what happened was whoever gave him the description, it wasn't accurate enough, apparently. And this is not for anything, you know, unbelievably illegal or anything like that. It's just, you know, how you deal with certain situations with certain people and other parks and park enforcement people. Mm-hmm. You know, like the people that don't carry the guns and like to tell you what to do, right, you know, when you turn the tables on them.
Does what you guys do serve the public? I mean, I don't want to make this comparison because I know you take offense to it, but you did hear my opening song. I mean, you know, you guys have the parallel has been drawn between you and the Whale Wars guys, and I know people have made fun of them for throwing stink bombs at people who deal with, you know, blood, guts, and gore of whales, like as though that's going to really make any difference, throwing a few stink bombs.
those things are nasty. They're rough.
But would you say that you're more or less effective than the Whale Wars guys, or would you ever even let someone make that comparison, or is that really offensive to you?
That would depend on how you're measuring it. I mean, in some ways, I think what they're trying to do is, it just seems like, I don't know, there was a recent South Park parody of the Whale Wars called Whale Whores, and it's pretty accurate.
I'm not suggesting that you guys are whores.
I don't think it is, dear, by the way, completely effective at what they do. I think that they're doing, like, you know, they have good intentions, but I just don't think they're going about it the right way. Mm-hmm. I don't have any master plan. The only thing I'm trying to do is go out and fish on, you know, waters that I think, you know, I should be able to fish on. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. I'm not trying to impact other people. I'm not trying to spread the word or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to exercise my right to get out on public water and enjoy what has been a right of public citizens for centuries. And I feel like that is kind of disappearing. Mm-hmm. And if at times it ends up, you know, there's a sense of adventure to it, there's a rush, that's kind of a bonus. Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun to kind of sneak around sometimes. But
sure.
But are you guys? It can be really inconvenient if you get, you know, caught or somebody wants to arrest you for something. But in most cases, like, people understand what we're doing, and it's not, you know, they don't feel threatened by us.
Would you say that you know, if Discovery came to you and wanted to do a reality series on the Nightcrawlers, you would turn it down?
I mean, I would. For me, it's like doing something that's not going to be written up in Time Out magazine,
right?
You know, and I think a lot of New Yorkers.
I'm sure
are
after
trying
this
to find
it will be. But
yeah, thanks.
Yeah, go ahead.
But trying to kind of have your own piece of experience that you don't have to share with millions of people in New York City. So at least for me, I'm not political about this. It's just trying to enjoy the space and the time.
And I mean, are you angry fishermen when you go out there and your spot has been, a fence has been put up where, you know, through your little path down to the East River, say in Red Hook or Greenpoint or something like that? I mean, is there anger underlying what you guys do?
Not for me. It's just another kind of obstacle that you have to get over, and it makes it more interesting, I guess.
Interesting. It's like in Mario Brothers. It's an extra Koopa. You gotta jump over.
I got it. Okay. I'm learning a lot here. I did want to, it's very interesting, I think, for the viewers, the listeners. Just a few little notes here about trespassing in New York City. A person who enters private property without honestly knowing the status of the land is not subject to criminal trespass. According to New York State Penal Law 140.05, to be convicted of trespass, it must be proven that the person knew they were on private land. If you saw a posted sign, and then it says basically refer to the website. But with all of these laws that are in place, I guess my question is, they're increasing numbers of laws that affect what you guys do make your job more difficult, or is that in fact what you're really after? Breaking the law.
I happen to be very close to two very prominent lawyers, and I frequently, you know, debate with them because they're not into my sort of legal debate. Uh-huh. But because they just say you really shouldn't do it in the first place. Mm-hmm. What it comes down to is, I mean, it's such a gray area that if you really wanted to go toe-to-toe, mm-hmm. there's really no actual penalties that you're going to face. I mean, unless you're doing something egregious, you know, as far as anything else goes, I mean, it's one of those, you just plead ignorance and that's the end of it.
I see.
Another interesting thing I noticed is that it actually goes back to common law. Like, what in essence is protecting you guys is goes back to pre-Revolutionary War, you know, English law about waterways and using vessels as transport, so that so long as you have, even if it's a rubber ducky, you can claim, I suppose, that that's going to, you know, bring you up the river. And this, obviously, the East River is used for commuting. I don't know. Are you at all scared of the consequences, I guess, of what you're doing?
Not really. No, not at all. That's a firm no. I mean, like, a lot of what we do isn't done entirely out of malice. It's just that most of the fishing spots are all, they're all privately owned, or there's a fence around it for one reason or another. It's abandoned property.
And I guess my question then is it legal for them to put that fence up? Say it's industry. Say it's not
development,
but industry can put a fence up?
100%, yes.
I see.
And by there being a fence and a posted fence, you really are not allowed to go through there.
That's correct. I actually, there's a reservoir that connects, that runs into a lake, and I know the owner of the lake, and they have, you know, signs posted, and great fishing there, just too far away where it's really, you know, just a pain in the ass to get to. But I've gone there, and every time I go, there's always locals fishing there, and, you know, my attitude towards it is, you know what, these guys are fishing, it's like, who cares? You know, I don't tell them anything about, you know, the fact that they're not supposed to be there, because, you know, I understand and I sympathize with them. You know, these guys aren't sitting there and vandalizing the property, they're just fishing and, you know, getting something to eat for dinner at the end of the day.
If you guys see somebody who's, you know, acting irresponsibly, I guess that's the vigilante question. Do you take the law into your own hands? Is that something I'm understanding? A sort of second, part two of the rule book of the night crawlers?
Are we not only breaking the laws, but making sure that other people aren't egregiously breaking the laws? That we feel are ethically, like, questionable. I mean, it depends on the degree to which somebody's doing something. If they're really fucking with it, then, you know, if they're just ruining it for other people, then it doesn't make sense. But it's pretty basic. Like, if you see somebody doing something that's egregious, then you should tell them, you know, just make them stop somehow. If not, make them stop. Make no sweat.
All right.
Are you guys there for the fireworks?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know what? Before you guys go into the fireworks, I'm nervous for I don't want to divulge the fireworks story. Luckily, I will tell you that we are out of time. But I will say that, first of all, if you're law enforcement, good luck catching these guys. They will fish wherever they want. Second of all, if you're breaking laws and you're treating the water in an inappropriate way, look out. The night crawlers are probably there somewhere lurking. You've heard it here. Catch it, cook it, and eat it. Thanks, guys, for coming on the show.
Night crawlers. I'm so scared.
Night crawlers.
They'd be so large, or even in a pack.